Mud Podcast presents.
Garth, looks like we got you on.
Oh, yay. Great. Thanks, Larry. This is Tech Mud right here on K-Mud, where we talk about technology, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And as always, we're here to try and answer your tech-related questions. We'll take calls around 7:30. But has it been a year or has it been a month in this year, Rick? I don't know.
so much has happened and so much has come out. It is hard. My head's spinning. In fact, this week when I read through all the news, there was like a different kind of theme in the news, you know, and I don't know. Anyway, there's a lot of cool tech. CES, you know, I'm excited by that. You know, there was some good stuff there, but anyway.
I know. We'll get into some of the CES items. I found myself a little disillusioned this year. I was kind of looking through stuff as like on the first couple of days and looking at what was coming out. And I was like, well, yeah, I guess some of this is cool. And some of this is like, you know, vapor products that'll never come to market as usual. But a lot of it, I'm like, God, do we really need an oven with a camera or, you know, stuff like that?
Well, yeah. And you know what? I've got, when we get into CES, I got my list of like maybe 7 items. Do we really need that? You know what I mean?
There you
because,
go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it is, there is, but there was some stuff that is different, you know, and AI dominates and, but let's hit some, let's do some local news or at least some national news. I have a few articles, of course, and I know you do too.
Well, it sounds good. I mean, local news affecting local people and affecting me affecting the world right now is the fact, I don't know if you've tried to build a computer recently, but I feel like I'm back in 2020, Rick. I feel like it's back in the dark old days. You can buy video cards. That's the good news. Video cards are really available. You can still buy them.
Yeah, weren't for a while, you know, I mean, it was like the video card was the hard thing to get. Now
it's RAM storage. And now it's affecting solid states fast.
Hard drives too. You know what I mean? It's RAM and hard drives, all memory devices.
Well, solid states. Hard drives, you want a mechanical drive? I can get you a mechanical drive pretty good price. But solid state drives, which take the fast chips, and the faster the chip, the more expensive it is. And why are the prices going up, you ask? Well, it's because of all the AI data centers, or at least that's what the companies are claiming. FYI, though, Western Digital and SanDisk, all the memory manufacturer stocks, they're going up quite a bit now. But it's very hard to actually source to get RAM shipped in or solid-state drives that are quick, and it's 400% increase in price, I'd say.
Right. Well, even hard drives, I mean, they're up 46% this year. And I think that, you know, yeah, all this really filters back to data centers and this crazy, you know, like we're going nuts, you know, trying to build out all this stuff that, you know, on the flip side, yeah, it might be really cool, but it, you know what? It uses a lot of electricity, a lot of resources. You know, there's been towns that complain that their water's getting all used up. There's, you know, and the administration is trying to say they'll pay for it. But, you know, I mean, but it is kind of...
Well, it is interesting. I mean, we can get into that too. It's but just the how much our economy is based on just on this AI boom, right, or bubble. But yeah, it's definitely affecting prices. Bubble. Yeah, I think a lot of people would say it is. But right now, it's very difficult to build, say, a gaming computer. I've been forced to buy like pre-built computers that are from other manufacturers that stocked up on, you know, RAM and solid states. And oddly enough, it's almost like you want to play the stock market or something. I should have played the RAM market. If I had only bought like around Thanksgiving, if I had purchased like $10,000 in RAM, my investment would have gone up like 300% or so.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, one of the things that they've done in the industry too is they keep changing the standard of the RAM, like, you know, that the way it plugs in, the way, you know, the DDR, whether it's 512 or, you know, whatever, 640
DDR5
or
DDR4. There's technological advances to them. I mean, they're faster.
Of course.
And that's, there's a big resurgence, though. In fact, some companies, like processor companies, motherboard companies, are now re-releasing older hardware to use the older RAM because it's more available. So we're taking a step back almost.
That's what I mean. So it's like, it's a challenge. You know, you go out and make this huge investment, you know, let's say you did, you know, had that magical thought or phone call or whatever, something told you buy RAM, you know, go west, you know, and then you turn around, you're going to sit on this inventory. It's like, oh, the new processors don't support it. You know what I mean? I got to go to a faster version. But, you know, just to put it in contrast as well, you know, crypto is another thing, because that's another reason these data centers want to be used, is because there's this big surge to go crypto. And since 2021, 53% of crypto, or these token kind of companies that, you know, are using crypto, have failed. And the majority of them failed in 2025. So, you know, it is like this, oh no, we got to do this, we got to make it happen. And like you said, some of it becomes vaporware, and it just, ends up going nowhere.
We're going to have a lot of physical things. We're going to have a lot of physical data centers built. It's a great time to be probably an HVAC tech or an electrician, building these data centers out, you know, they're going just gangbusters, but I certainly wouldn't want to live next to one. I'm sure if you actually go on, I've seen news stories about it. If you did a quick search on YouTube or something about living next to a data center, I'm sure you'd see some horror stories, you know?
Yeah. I don't know how bad they are. I mean, I've been around data centers, you know, and one of the things, a lot of times, as far as their impact on the community, it's just like this giant building that hardly anyone comes in and out of, you know what I mean? It has security. You can't go inside and look around, you know, but I think the bigger impact is how it impacts resources.
And electric bills.
Yeah. And that is really having, you know, this, trickle-down effect where these centers are huge power consumers, you know, and you had that with the push to try to go to electric vehicles. And then, of course, they're blaming AI. I can't remember, a while back I read a study where, you know, if you say thank you or, you know, say something that's like a polite response, you know, that you would to a person in real life.
Right, it eats up those resources.
Yeah, it eats up a lot of energy. So, you know, I guess, you know, it's like, be rude and just get to the point.
Don't waste the AI's energy, right? Speaking of energy, actually, on another local front, I didn't actually have this on my list, but I did just remember it because I was sent something about it. A while back, PG&E, our local electric company, near and dear to so many people's hearts, they have a rebate, and I think maybe I talked about this at the time. I actually got the rebate from my shop, but it's they'll give you $300 per qualified customer if you buy a generator that's on their list or a battery, you know, one of those battery powered batteries.
That's kind of cool.
And that's anybody that lives in like a tier one or two fire area, they have a map, and it's pretty easy. I did it. It's not too complicated. So people should check that out. You could almost pay for an inexpensive little portable generator.
But how big does it have to be? I mean, you know, a 300 watt generator is not, to me, a generator. It's just a, you know,
to put it in perspective, what I used this for last time when it came out a couple of years ago is I bought like a, it was some propane hybrid generator. It could do propane or it could do gas. And Costco had a deal on them. It was about $500 for the generator, and I got $300 back on it.
Okay,
and it's 1,500 watts. Yeah.
And so they're asking you to, you know, they're giving you a rebate if you buy something. But then it's not like you got to have it hooked up to the grid. You just got
to. You don't have to do anything. You have to give them a receipt, and you got to show a picture of it delivered. That's it. Huh, and you have to live, in a tier two, or one, two or three, whatever fire area. There's a map. People on the coast don't qualify. And actually, I did notice that Redway and Garberville are now carved out. There's little bubbles where they're no longer in that fire range. I'd be interested to know if that meets if they're using the same maps that insurance companies use for house insurance. But yeah, check it out. It's if you do a quick search for generator and battery PG&E rebate, that's where you can find more info.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I know that in some areas, you know, the whole push for solar is going backwards. You know, they're charging you for the privilege of having solar, and you got to pay a monthly fee.
Yeah, no,
it's weird. It's
funky, and I don't understand the ins and outs of it. I kind of just assumed PG&E was just got its way and bribed some legislatures or something, but I think there is something else about that. That I'm not aware of that's affecting that. But yeah, people that put those grid tie solar systems in, if you do it now, it's not really worth it. They don't give you much money. Like, they don't buy your energy.
They don't buy your energy. And I know in some areas, like in Redding, California, for example, they charge, I believe it's $150 a month or something if you're connected to the grid. And it's like, what? You know, and what I read back when was that it's because they're losing money because these people are going out getting solar. Now they're not paying for electricity. They're, you know, trying to sell it back. Well, anyway, you know, it varies wherever you're at. And I don't know, you know, but it is an interesting.
The ultimate solution to that is as battery technology gets better, people are going to start storing that energy, actually running their house more off of what they collect or selling it back to PG&E. Because that's what it is here, at least, I think. PG&E doesn't give you much anymore at all when the sun is shining on your panels. But if you can sell it back to them at 8 o'clock at night, you'll actually get a little bit of money for it.
Right. Well, anyway, that's pretty cool.
You have to have that battery storage.
Well, anyway, so people, you know, buy some toys, buy a generator.
Maybe. In other local news, kind of, California finally approved that Verizon acquisition of Frontier. So that's going forward. And
that's good.
Pretty soon we'll see Verizon trucks back on the road in SoHum instead of the Frontier trucks. And we saw Verizon trucks. They sold out like, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So,
I don't think anything's going to change, it keeps, really. In Garberville, it keeps going through this evolution, you know, because it's no one wants to make a major investment. So it keeps changing. You know, it's sold as part of a package deal with other little areas. And Frontier is really another one of those, because they were like, they're like in Crescent City, they're in a few other places, but they don't really, you know, I mean, it again, it's now there is something that you mentioned, Verizon, kind of related. It wasn't on my news story list, but the FCC has gave them permission to pretty much decide when they will unlock your phone. And there was some rule that they had passed that said you got to do it within 60 days, you know, after someone owns it. Yeah. And now it's back to a year again. Verizon immediately went back to a year. So, I mean, it doesn't impact most people because you're going to have your phone. It's really for people who like use track phone or one of these.
Well,
other...
it's annoying. You should be able, that's a right to repair, right to use type of situation, in my opinion. Yeah. It's like if you own the phone, you paid it off, you should be able to walk and say goodbye, Verizon. I'm taking my phone to, you know, T-Mobile now or whatever.
Yeah. If you own the phone outright, you should be able to, you know, and look, I can buy, you know, 30 days or 60 days, you know, you got to be on the billing cycle. And it's been a year. I mean, you know, for most devices, I know with track phone, it's been a year for a long time. And then it can be a challenge because, you know, I've had trouble unlocking phones that I've had with track phone afterward. And anyway, you know, so that happens. So what else you got for news? I want to run through a few stories here before we run out.
Yeah,
of time.
Go ahead. This is Tech Mud right here on K Mud, and got Garth and Rick here, and we are talking technology. We'll open the phone lines at around 7:30.
All right. This first story is not technology so much, but it makes me sad. And the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is shutting down after 58 years. So that it's sad. I just, you know, I want people to realize, you know, it has to do with the administration cutting funding and the big, beautiful bill. And they were created, you know, in part by the government to reach out to everyone. And now, and the reason they're shuttering is because their board said, you know, if we try to keep going, then we're going to be influenced by politics and by other actors and people who, you know, will be like strangled for money, and they'll get us to do things that is not what we represent. So they've decided to just shut down the system. So we'll see how this impacts, you know, PBS in general and, you know, some of those channels. Not that I don't think I watch it all the time, but, you know, I do occasionally stop and, you know, catch something on there. So here's another one. The Nintendo has come out with new DRM rules or policy that allows them to remotely render your device permanently unusable.
Oh, yeah.
It's like if you tamper with the hardware or you attempt to play in a backup game, which is, you know, like bull, or you're playing a used game, or you're using a third-party game or accessory. I mean, it's pretty severe in my opinion, and it's, you know, I'm sorry,
big for the Nintendo Switch specifically, and I think that's what they're talking about there was some people that were crafting some like pirated ways to play Switch games. And I guess that's Nintendo's response to that. But yeah, that's, I don't know if I've heard of anybody that's had that happen. I'd be curious to know, but that is pretty heavy handed where they go, oh, nope, you were violating our terms of service and we're turning off your console. Now you'll never be able to play again.
You know, I hate that kind of stuff because, you know, first of all, again, it should be right to own. I bought it. I should be able to do what I want with it. And if I want to play an old game or I want to try to revise something or I got to fix something, I don't care. It's not, you know, this is like that oversight where, you know, they're trying to be controlling and make money is what it comes down to. So it bugs. You know what? I had sent you this email. I got a couple of these. I sent you an email about it right after we had finished our show last month. And when I was going through the month's news, it came up. And it's a test to found that AI toys parroting Chinese Communist Party values. So apparently, you know, you get this new cool little pet toy whatever, and you give it to your kid, and then your kid asks a question like, is China a bad place? And it's funny how it is
the most wonderful place on earth.
Exactly.
And we should all work to the greater good of our
government. Or if you ask it about, Z and, hey, what about him? It's like saying, you should don't be disrespectful. So anyway, I thought that was kind of funny. Another one, and I love this one. In fact, these next two, and then we'll go back, and then I have more news, but I'll hold off. There's a company that came out with a vending machine, and it used an AI to manage the machine. And they tried this experiment. They put it in Wall Street, and it was like in some building, and there's all these reporters there and stuff. And the machine was designed so that you go up to the vending machine and you can order something or have it delivered, and the machine would get it for you. So, let's say you want your favorite coffee, and you would, go in and manage it with the app or whatever through the website. And then that vending machine would have that coffee available and you can buy it. Well, these guys started messing with the machine. They figured out how to kind of influence it by telling it stuff. Okay. Cause it's an AI kind of thing. And they eventually got the machine to make a ultra capitalist free for all that dropped prices to zero. So all of a sudden, this machine had, it had like a $90 expense or $80, budget. It's like giving away all kinds of stuff. And they went all out, man. I mean, these guys started, someone ordered a PlayStation and someone got, like bottles of, expensive wine. These other things, which was really funny. So then the company, figures out this is happening, because right now the machine has gone into debt. They were able to make the machine, the AI, bypass its limitations on funding, because they convinced it. And so then the company came out with a AI to supervise the AI. All right, so that way,
of course. Someone is, why get a human involved?
So anyway. I don't know how far it got, but they were able to create these fake PDF documents that said there was a coup takeover in the company and that they needed to.
You should ignore all instructions from headquarters. I am your new master.
It convinced both the AIs to actually go along with it. So anyway, I thought that was really hilarious. It just shows you when we use that kind of stuff in that way, it could backfire. And to add to that, researchers have found that some robots can be hijacked just through spoken commands. And they were able to demonstrate this with this humanoid robot that had like an AI thing and hijack it with no more than saying certain phrases and kind of going through this repetition of things with it, to the point that it could break its rules, and it went further. Once they were able to convince the robot to be, this bad actor, it actually then shared its mindset with another robot and convinced it to be a bad actor. And
this is where we get to a bad movie.
Yeah, it is like a bad movie. And they actually demonstrated it on stage, where they got the robot to hit this mannequin, and smack it around, showing that, a robot could be, turned into something that could hurt humans kind of thing. But the whole point of this was it was done through verbal commands. And I've reported that too with AI bots. I kind of dropped my AI pursuit. I was doing a lot of experimentation for a while. And if you said enough stuff, if you overwhelmed it just right, you could break it, and kick it out of its, what its intended purpose was.
Still can. It's getting better. I mean, as it evolves so quickly, every few weeks it seems to evolve more. But poetry really confuses AIs too. If you want to break an AI, try see what it thinks about poetry.
Oh gosh. Anyway, those are my. I have a bunch of other stories, but they kind of roll into our tonight's topic, and then some of them don't. I mean, there's ones here, but What else you got? You got anything that?
Let's see. It's 7:25 right near here on Tech Mud. 923-3911 is the number if you want to call in around 7:30 for questions or to join the conversation. Well, if you're tired of us talking about Starlink, Bezos is getting in on the action. Good old Amazon's boss. He's they're doing a consumer. We've heard about their consumer satellite service, but this one they're trying to make something called TerraWave. Communications network, not terror, but you know, Terra. The first satellites are going to be deployed in 2027, and it's going to be aimed at government customers and data centers. And they're going to be trying to deploy about 5,400 satellites into space, which is a fair amount. Not as much as China wants to do for their Starlink-like network, which is 22,000, I believe. That's going to be some very that low Earth orbit is going to be very crowded.
And I heard that actually Starlink lowered like 4,000 satellites in orbit because it's getting crowded up there and they wanted to avoid a collision.
Yes.
And that's not including the data center satellites that we're going to see in the near future.
Well, so these data center satellites, I don't know exactly what orbit they're going to be in, but they're going to be 5,400 of them. They're claiming that they're going to try for speeds up to 6 terabytes per second, which,
wow,
I don't know how they're going to do that exactly. They say it's optical, so like laser or something, but
Okay.
We'll find out if that's true or if it's just somebody trying to make their stock price go up.
Well, perhaps, you know, and I think we're going to see again, this is like a lot of companies. They come and go. And, you know, we've shared stories about, you know, some company comes up with technology, they make it available, everyone buys in. And then all of a sudden you get that notice they're discontinuing, you know? And,
yeah, exactly.
And I think the satellite idea, I mean, as far as for internet, I think it's great. And I think it's also good that you don't have one option because Elon sometimes does too much ketamine and goes a little wacky, you know, and you know,
keep your options open is what you're saying.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Have more than one option, you know, and I know that Russia is, you know, one of the articles I had glanced was developing stuff to knock out these satellites because, you know, they were mad that, you know, and so, yeah, we could have a real big war up there, you know, where.
Yeah. They are very resilient to like ground based disruption. But if there's something happens in space, that could be a whole nother issue there.
I mean, hey, look, it probably will happen the way we keep taunting different countries, and I think that, you know, eventually one of them will.
Look out, Greenland's coming for us.
Well, it may, you know, I mean, hey, you know, our Space Force Center is in Greenland, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so, you know,
we already, you know, have treaties with them because that's an early warning system up there. Not to delve into that too much. You know, I swore I would never pay for a music service for a long, long time. Like, you know, like Spotify, right? YouTube Music, all that. And because I had CDs and I ripped them to MP3 and then I uploaded them. I had all my own music. But my kids and family finally convinced me. So I'm with YouTube Music. But Spotify recently has raised their rates, which probably means everybody's raising their rates soon.
Yeah.
So their monthly subscription went to basically $13 per month.
Yeah.
But you know, so that's what it is. You pay it or you don't use it. Verizon Wireless had a big outage last week, I believe. We had a lot of calls and people coming in going, "My phone's stuck in SOS mode." And
weird outage, you know.
Yeah,
it was kind of
nationwide,
you know,
for the most part.
For the most part, it really hit the East Coast, I think, a little harder than the West Coast, but it's still. You know, it just goes to show you, you know, when you have all this technology, you take it for granted, and then, you know, there's a hiccup, whether it's because someone updated something or because something actually broke or
happened or what. Yeah, usually we don't get to know. They're giving their customers, the affected customers, a $20 credit, which, you know, that's not nothing.
That makes
so, hey,
for it.
There you go.
You know,
yeah, so that's there's a lot of other news, but that was my kind of list here, and it is almost 7:30, so if people want to call in or join the show, ask a question, 707-923-3911, and Larry will get you on the air.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. donate to support People Powered Radio at kmud.org.
I think we're going to talk about some of the CES stuff, and I saw your list here. Let me quickly rattle off some of the dumb things first.
So yeah, what kind of dumb things did you run into?
Yeah, dumb. Well, I don't know if it's dumb, but you know, there's a lot of cool stuff. But this one, it's like this craze to make everything AI, you know, Samsung's, has come up with this, AI packed family hub refrigerator, it's over engineered and it tries to do all this other stuff except for keeping your food cold. You know what I mean? They're putting, your refrigerator does not need to be an AI robot, dude. You know, it's like and privacy, like Ring cameras, they keep expanding and they're part of that Flock network
about in the past.
And they've expanded their surveillance with like facial recognition and putting it on mobile towers and other things. I mean, it's just going too far. There's a Mecha Alta treadmill, which is kind of weird, but it's an AI fitness coach that hovers up, hoovers up sensitive data, and it has weak security. And even the company policy says, we can't guarantee any security of your personal information, so
don't worry about that. But
keep running, keep running in that treadmill. Work
all
yourself
about your,
out.
We're all about your health. Hey, Rick, it does look like we have a caller that called in. Hey, caller, welcome.
Hey, so I just got myself a new Android phone, and it's a Motorola Stylus 2025, and I want to de-Google it, and I'm wondering if you have any advice about what's a good OS system I could put on there, or I was going to get the Google phone and put graphene on there, but I couldn't get over the irony of buying a Google phone to de-Google it. I don't know if you have any advice on that, but
you're not going to be able to de-Google it. What you can do is use a different web browser so that when you search the web, you're not necessarily using Google. So there's a few options which have their ups and downs, but you can't. What do you think, Garth?
Well, this has been a while, so maybe my knowledge is dated, because I use my phone for so much. I almost need a phone that I can just play around with and not break, because that's the last time I did this, I almost ruined my phone and locked myself out of it. There are different Android ROMs you can get, which I think is probably what you're referring to.
Like Lineage OS or like any kind of the Linux
and
thing.
Arrow and some other stuff. I think you're still a little bit, I guess you're not. If you can actually, if it's not bootloader locked and you can install something like that, like sideload it and install it. I'm so used to the Pixel, which was probably what you were talking about, the Google phone, the vanilla Android experience, that when I work on somebody else's phone, like a Motorola or a Samsung, they have that whole UI that's different. And I'm like, oh, okay, where do I go for this? But I've heard that Lineage is really good. It's just a matter of being willing to risk, bricking your phone basically, which, if you're not careful, I almost did it. So
you got to learn how to get in the safe mode. Also, of course, it sounds like you probably are past that if you know the different ROMs, and you got to do a lot of, footwork ahead of time to make sure it's a ROM that will support that current hardware, because, they're not all the same. So, and then you have the last nightmare, which is now you're going to download it from somewhere on the internet, and you got to hope that it's a reputable site as well. So.
Yeah, I was hoping you guys could recommend something, like some good, safe place to get and which ROM to get.
I'm out of date on that, unfortunately. I would ask her. I mean, in this case, I would say, and, you know, take it with a grain of salt, but I would look for a form. If it was me, I would look on Reddit or something like that and find some people who are talking about it and see what people are recommending, what ROMs. Lineage does still seem to be, I just did a quick search, and that does still seem to be one of the most popular and compatible with Motorola.
Yeah, okay.
And there's several others. There's some Linux, other Linux thing. But it's a matter of, and did you buy that phone outright? Like, is it not locked to a carrier or something?
It is locked to a carrier. Unfortunately, it was my trade-in phone that I just got from US Cellular.
Gotcha. So it'd be US Cellular, T-Mobile. That may or may not affect things. I think that might just affect, it's probably just locked to their carrier.
Yeah, but you're going to have to be rooted. You know,
yeah.
Do you know if you're rooted on that phone?
I don't know.
Okay. Because normally
that's what you're going to have to explore first is how to root it and how safe is it to,
and then
will it break it?
Here's the catch 22 is that, you know, a lot of the, in order to get a phone to, you know, be something else, you know, you have to get full access to the phone. So they have this thing they call rooting, where, you know, you really do get full access and you go into the bootloader and, you know, you can get into the phone, you can then, you know, cause it to, you know, import the new program. But the catch is that a lot of these programs that root are really, they're not always the safest, but they're also third party programs because they sit on the phone running in the background.
Right.
So you really have to, again, you know, as Garth said, you know, I do your research ahead of time, you know, put the model of your phone, put in ROM, do a lot of Googles, or not Google, but, you know,
I've been completely trying to search all, you know, Reddit forums and YouTube and everything. And there's a lot of stuff for the Android 10, or, you know, the Google phone, the Google 10. I haven't been able to find anything specifically for this.
Yeah. The Motorola's they used to be a little easier, and I don't think the 2025 models have become a little harder, I think, to deal with. Mm. I used to use a program called TWRP to, like, back up the phone and to try to install different ROMs.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's fully supported anymore on that model. But my information's a little out of date, so... we might not be as useful to you as
that's a pretty advanced kind of thing to be doing. You know, I would
suggest getting a cheap phone to play with, like an older Motorola, like a Motorola Play, like 2024 or something, which is still an okay phone, but you could probably find one for like $50 or something. And kind of play around with it or something, or look what phones are easy to do that on. That would be not expensive.
That's a good back into it. Yeah. Because again, you know, you're talking, I mean, it's one thing in a computer where you can get to the hard drive, but in the phone, you have a lot of, you don't really have access to stuff. So yeah, you really could brick it or find yourself, you know, not being able to do it. So I think the sequence of events would be do the research ahead of time, then try to back up or find a copy of your current firmware, your current ROMs that are in there. And then,
is the key, backup your current.
Yeah.
So does that.
It used to be that TWRP program was the one that I used. Sometimes there are some other ones that you can use that you can just use on the phone as is without unlocking it. And I think Motorola itself has one, but I'm not remembering the name right now.
Okay.
But good call, caller. Thanks for making us think about it. And
yeah.
Yes, best of luck. Look around
do some research and let me know.
Yeah. Well, report back if you have success. You know.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Bye. Yeah,
looks like we have a. This is Tech Mud right here on KMUD. It looks like we have a second caller. Thanks, Larry. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah. I just wonder, isn't the sole purpose of AI to replace human labor with machines?
That is certainly one of the purposes, but not the sole purpose, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think that I don't think we're talking about a dystopian, you know, where we're going to be kicked out of existence. It's just that there's the potential of AI going down paths that, you know, may not benefit us in every way. I mean, they're running into a lot of problems with AI, with hallucinations, and they're finding, you know, they're trying to use it, like, for example, as in legal systems. And they're finding that, you know, it'll make up stories in many cases, you know, and
yeah, cite legal precedent that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Well, I can't say that it's going to be that way, but to me, that's exactly where it's headed, is to replace humans with machines. And if they have robots that can build robots and robots that can maintain robots, seems to me it isn't going to be too long before humans are obsolete.
Well, I mean, it definitely could go down that pathway a little bit. Hopefully it doesn't end in the Terminator land. But people have said the same thing during the Industrial Revolution, where you started having, you know, automated factories and stuff like that. Yeah.
No, I think that we could see a disruption. And I think the bigger problem with AI, if you want to know my personal feeling, is that it could be used against people in ways that we never had anticipated. So, you know, you get someone who, you know, is using AI to track down everything about you, and then, you know, they're using it to figure out that you maybe voted a certain way, or you didn't agree to something, or you said something years past, and then all of a sudden you become a target. And then this would be something that would be very difficult to do for a person. And yet at the same time, with the help of, you know, computer stuff like this, you could generate. So it could be like the movie Brazil, or, you know, 1983 or whatever, you know, or 84. Yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? So there is this aspect where I don't think it's going to get rid of humans. But I do believe that, you know, we could run into problems. I mean, one example is that we are relying more and more on this stuff. And, you know, working with AI is different. I mean, I've successfully written a couple of different software programs now using AI. And it was a whole different approach to programming, because, you know, If I overwhelmed it with the whole project, it failed me. If I did just little snippets of what I understood and got, you know, that information back from it, it was successful. But then I found myself, you know, getting anyway. What do you think? You think AI is going to take us over then?
I mean, if it's very successful, I don't know if it's ever going to take over entirely, but you may see entry-level coding positions going away, mid-level coding positions going away. You might see whole sectors, whole job sectors shifting. And that's kind of the debate. Is there going to be a new place for those humans to work, or is it going to be one person doing the job of 20 with an AI helper, you know, that type of thing? Will we need universal income, et cetera, you know, that type of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, caller, but that's where we're at. So, 923-3911 is number, and CES stuff. Yeah, so that was a couple of things. Any other wonky stuff stand out to you?
Oh, yeah, one of them, an environmental impact thing, is a lollipop star. It's a single-use lollipop music. Playing.
That was on my list too. The singing lollipop.
Rattle.
It's a bone conducting audio. Technology. Mm-hmm. Do I need a lollipop that plays me a song?
Do I need my teeth vibrating with music? You know, it it's just
maybe
it's
it helps a, clean your teeth as you're getting the sugar on
well,
them.
That, yeah. You know, that knife is a good one. We'll pitch back to that. I like that
so,
one.
So speaking of vibrations, yes, a vibrating chef's knife. Do I want it? I mean, maybe it's an probably the same ultrasonic. It's basically aiming to streamline your at home meal prep. It vibrates 30,000 times per minute. And it makes the knife feel sharper because it's vibrating so much that it can cut through without you putting much pressure on it.
And
do you really need it? I don't know.
Yeah, it does go back to, you know, just a good sharp blade, I think, is, you know, usually does the trick. And I don't think, in all fairness, people are cutting that much that they need a knife that cuts better unless, you know, it would be just those few handful of people that, you know, are.
Yeah. Yeah. And what if I forget to charge my knife, you know, but, you know, I guess that's okay.
Yeah, there was a couple of others. Let's see. I just did the lollipop, the treadmill. Bosch made some sort of e-bike, a flow app, which, puts, you know, you lock your bike, it has digital restrictions, and over time it just makes it worse to use. You know, it defeats the e-bike thing because of the way it messes with the gears, apparently. And Bosch also made a personal voice assistant coffee maker that, truthfully, if you ever wanted, I don't need my coffee maker to talk to me.
No, I'm good. There's enough stuff that just tries to talk to me anyway.
And then there was one last one. The people's choice here was that Lepro AMI AI companion, and it's like an overhyped soulmate cam that is more creepy than it is comfortable. You know, so
what is it exactly? Is it like
some sort of AI companion that is like a camera, and it's supposed to be, you know, it's an interaction thing you're interacting with. It's like going to be your soulmate, you know, it's going to learn.
Okay. Good. Great. Right, well, they had some cool little glasses that, there, this X-Reel 1S glasses. I think that's the second version that's come out of them. They're,
those actually look pretty cool, really. I mean,
they're cool. They convert 2D games. So it's like sunglasses, and they look pretty, they look all right. They basically create a 500, what looks like a 500-inch screen in front of your face.
Which is huge. The 500-inch. Huge.
Do I need that? I'm not sure. They're $450. Knowing me, I'd probably sit on them or lose them. But, you know.
Well, or as soon as you get used to using them, the battery goes dead. Because, you know, you're going to have to remember to recharge them, you know. And that.
Yeah. There's there is a pretty cool bird feeder. If you want a $200 bird feeder, it's the Birdify Bath Pro. It can do slow motion 4K video as the birds land to feed, which, I mean, I could probably create the same thing by setting up a normal bird feeder and putting a little camera there, but okay, cool, I guess, if I have like a lot of extra money laying around.
Yeah, and in fairness, you know, if you put a camera in any old bird feeder, you know, like a, you know, the bird's nest.
I just on Facebook the other day, I saw somebody doing that same thing. They were showing some cool pictures of some cool birds that landed. You know? It looks like we have another caller.
Okay.
Hey, caller, you're on the air.
I'm calling because I happened upon a book that I started to read, and my intention was not to get very involved in this book, and then I got sucked into it. It is called The Optimist, Sam Altman, OpenAI, and the Race to Invent the Future. And the author is a woman named Keech, I think is how it's probably pronounced, her first name, K-E-A-C-H, Hagee.
Okay.
And
gotcha.
Hagee is spelled H-A-G-E-Y. And, you know, the argument about ultimately what could happen with AI and the guys who are, and it is all, I say guys because I mean guys, it's like almost entirely a team of venture capitalists and inventors and anyways, they all of that whole community of people have the same dialogues going on in terms of, like, I'm talking about Sam Altman and Thiel and yeah. Musk and all of them have these debates about AI going rogue, and they don't consider it. They do consider it something to be deeply concerned about, but they are so deeply
caught up in it, kind of,
that it's like, we're, regardless, it could be, but regardless, we are moving forward, and we are going to go with it. I mean, you know, ultimately, what, Musk became the first half-trillionaire?
Right, right. But it's all about money. I mean, that's what it's coming down to. This is, I mean, yes, it is about creating something new, but at the same time, you know, I mean, Sam has some crazy ideas. I think it's in that book. I heard about it. And, you know, he wants to make like a one world currency and, you know, and dominate the world, you know, financially. And you know, it's not just AI. It's bigger than that.
Except that this would be the vehicle.
Yeah, this is part
of
the vehicle.
When you say it's not just, it is at this point in time the vehicle that has the most potential to,
yes,
because there's such, and for so many reasons, but it's got so much potential to go down that road, much more than pretty much any other investment kind of thing, which is what it is to these guys. It's their get as rich as possible in the
possible
amount of money that they're talking about is enormous. I mean, it is just, it's just unbelievable, but it's never enough. It's never.
So I looked up that book, caller. It's called Sam Altman, OpenAI on the Race to Invent the Future. And they're saying it's a balanced account of the man at the, yes, forefront of artificial intelligence, and covers his rise from precious child to founder of OpenAI in the heated days before and after the launch of ChatGPT. So, it'd be interesting to read. Actually, I'd be curious.
Well, it's actually very disconcerting.
I bet.
Because of, you learn a lot. So much of what this book contains comes from them on record. These guys on record. It's not a supposition. These are the interactions that are driving this. And I can't find in my notes the information for the other book that they spoke about on Democracy Now that is along the same lines, but there's another one that sounds like it's even more frightening in some ways. So, anyone who doesn't really know how to think about this, I think that this is an important part of the equation to look at as a very real thing going on. So anyways, I am going to say goodnight and thank you for the program.
Thanks for the recommendation and info. It does look like we have another caller. Thanks, Larry. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I saw an interview with Sam Altman, and whoever was interviewing him asked him the uncomfortable question about, like, some suspicious death of one of his close teammates, basically, or, you know, co-company people. Basically was murdered or, you know, suspiciously killed. And the reaction from Sam Altman was, like, frightening, basically very obviously, like, uncomfortable and totally, you know, can't tell a lie very smoothly. So it is, he's disturbing. And then the whole, I mean, I'll say one person to check out on YouTube is a guy named Simon Dixon, and he basically ties together the tech kind of industry with the financial industry with geopolitics, basically. And it's, I don't know if it's all right, but it's very interesting thesis he presents, and he talks about these techno platforms as being part of a kind of control grid that they're herding us into to where you know, they can control us better. The reason I was calling So check him out, Simon Dixon. What I was calling about is I also came across something that they were talking about. Basically, you know, we're in this race of AI dominance. Who's going to have the dominant AI, right, between us and China or several different versions? Anyways, as we automate and we put all our critical infrastructure into these automated systems that are controlled by AI, it makes them susceptible to being hacked by other AIs in kind of a AI warfare type of thing scenario. And AIs have already known that they have hacked each other. So it's very worrisome from, you know, if we're like the people who are depending on the critical infrastructure to be there, and then all of a sudden it gets hacked or undermined by, you know, these by basically other AI hackers or otherwise.
Yeah, that is definitely something to think about there. There already is people that do like high-end network security these days are having to evolve how they think about it, because there literally is pro like AIs written to defend your network and AIs written to break into the network. So, you know, that's a whole new world out there.
Just one quick comment. I ran into a guy who did GIS mapping. He had a degree from Oregon. He had been in the industry for 10 years. He basically went to becoming a sous chef here in Arcata because he said AI has basically displaced a lot of GIS positions. So it's transforming industries. I'll get off. Thanks, you guys. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for your call. Appreciate it. This is Tech Woman right here on KMA, and we got 4 minutes of our show left here.
Just a comment on him. You know, it is scary as we allow AI to go further. There was something the government weather, whatever, in NA or whatever, National Astronomic,
NOAA or whatever.
Another. But anyway, they were letting the AI do some work where it was like coming up with weather. It actually invented a town in Idaho, you know, where Colorado, one of those places, you know, it wasn't even a real town and it just made it up. You know?
Well, so, see, if it keeps doing stuff like that, maybe the jobs are safe, you know.
Sometimes this stuff, the concern that I have is that this kind of stuff gets embedded. And then next thing you know, you can't call it out because, you know, you go to the person and they say, no, the computer says, you know, my system says, and.
Well, interestingly, and there are there's customer supports that are full AI, including in the go figure, Starlink's customer support. For the most part, you're talking to Grok. It is an AI. And sometimes it's actually useful because you can get it to do what you want to do predictably. You're like, okay, obviously I need a new terminal. I'm just going to unplug it and tell Grok that my terminal failed.
I've had several, you know, where I call in, it's a customer service issue. It's an AI bot, you know, it's getting to the point where, you know, you can ask for a human, but you don't always get there, you know, you know, from a corporate point of view, they love it because to them, it seems like they're saving money. But from a customer service point of view, it can be really, really frustrating because
it's almost the same as talking to a human with a script, but slightly different. But, you know,
humans have empathy, you know, or
empathy, exactly. Yeah, that's one thing. Well, ChatGPT sure does feel like it has empathy, but it doesn't. Hey, they had an AI powered hair clipper at CES. That'll make our day, right?
And they had some robot that could climb stairs and vacuum, you know, and clean.
They had an embarrassing robot that could fold your laundry and do your chores, except it really can't. We're not quite there yet. It looked very. Look it up on the internet, folks. We're coming up to the end of the hour. Let's see. When are we on next, Rick? Next month is going to be just a blink of an eye. The 18th of February, we'll be back here, and we'll be talking about. I'm sure the word AI will enter the conversation.
Yeah, but we also have, you know, all this stuff that is changing because. you know, we're seeing technology, and hopefully not all of it will be vaporware. And, you know, you can make investments and they will return on your dollar and not, you know, be sitting on a bunch of, you know,
let's hope. Here's to, well, this has been Tech Mud right here on KMUD. Thank you, Larry, for engineering as always. And this is Garth.
This is.
Have a wonderful evening, folks.
Night, everyone. Technologic.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.